Hey everyone, welcome to the Pittsburgh Dish. I'm your host, Doug Heilman. Why do over 100,000 people follow this local woman for her favorite food and drink spots? We'll find out this week. What kind of wine would you pair with takeout Thai food? We'll talk to a wine expert. And what are Yins cooking at home? We'll hear from one of our listeners, and it might involve candy bars, which is totally okay. All that ahead on the show. We want to thank the good folks at Isley's for being a founding sponsor to the Pittsburgh Dish. Not only do we all know Isley's for their famous chip-chopped ham, but also for their super premium ice creams. And they're bringing back a favorite, chocolate chip with Jimmy's. Go to isleys.com where you can find out more information and check out their store locator to see where Isley's ice cream is sold near you. And now back to the show. Hey, thank you for coming over.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it was actually pretty easy. I would maybe say to a guest, won't you be my neighbor? But you are my neighbor.
I love being neighbors with you, Doug.
I love that we're neighbors as well. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Anna of Anna Eats Pittsburgh. You can find me on Instagram. You can really find me on anything. Mm. But Instagram is kind of my main place to find me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're doing really well on Instagram.
Yeah, I just checked this morning. I have 115K now, which is pretty crazy because I just hit 100 in December. Yeah.
I think it's so funny with social media. It's like it's exponential. Mm-hmm. Once you start doing better, you start doing better. And it really isn't just like a diagonal line. It is this like sweeping success sometimes.
It's so true. I feel like once I hit 100, it was just like I was hitting 1,000 every other day, really interesting.
Yeah, I think I'm still at 2,000.
That's okay. I was there at the beginning of last year.
Oh, yeah?
So January 2023, I had maybe 3K. Mm. So it just goes to show. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Anything can happen in a year.
Yeah.
Really.
So if someone doesn't know you and they're listening to our show here, how would you describe what you're doing on Instagram?
Really, I'm just doing what I love. Something I've always done is just travel around the city of Pittsburgh to find new places to eat. Mm-hmm. That's really it. And I find so much joy in doing that. And it is turned into a way to highlight small businesses too and give them the love that they need and deserve too. So it's a lot of fun.
I love what you're doing. And I would echo, I think you're one of the hardest working local food business advocates that we have out there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And you grew up in Pittsburgh.
I sure did.
Lifelong.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of folks move here and that's great too, but you know the territory and some of the places you go, like I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Do you have over this last year or so, like some spots that really like stick out to you because you like the food or you like the owner's story?
That's a great question. Yeah. So recently, I met her a little over 2 years ago, but Dagny's Eatery down in Carnegie. I've grown really close with her. She has helped and supported my family in ways that no one knows about. Mm. And so her food is also delicious. Have you been there?
I've seen a lot of play, and a couple times I've gone, it's like the hours haven't been right, so it's still on my list.
She has incredible everything, but it's more of like a takeout situation.
Right.
Her cinnamon buns, I've highlighted those before. Mm-hmm. They're really, really great. You warm them up in your oven and they're all gooey and delicious. And she makes great sandwiches, salads. You know, you go for breakfast or lunch mainly, but she also does like catering if you need it, or she has like dinners that she makes now weekly. So Dagny, shout out to Dagny. Aww. I love her very much. And another place I love too that I've really grown to love over the past couple of years is Pooh City's Garden. Mm-hmm. It's like a go-to for Jordan, my boyfriend, and I now for like any special occasion, anniversary or things like that. So we love
It's so not only such good food, but like when you go in there, it's like you're transported somewhere else.
I agree. In that garden.
That garden.
Oh my God. I love it.
And that one salad that has all the colors.
17 ingredient salad. Yes. So
probably
good.
My favorite.
I would say like I when I go there, I really love their appetizers even more than their entrees. So we kind of just double up on all of the apps and share an entree. And that's the way to do it there. Their cocktails are great, too.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
I love it. I feel like I am talking to the absolute expert.
I don't know if I would call myself that. Well, I just am having fun out here.
Well, I think that's the great thing because you don't seem – it doesn't seem like work to you.
No, not at all.
And your posting schedule –
yeah.
It's crazy. Like how many places do you visit in a week and how many posts do
That's
you
think?
That's
a good question. And I think I make it seem like I'm going a ton of places all of the time. And sometimes I am that like just with my schedule, I get very busy. December was so busy for me and I was quite literally going to maybe two or three places a week to film for them.
Oh my gosh.
Right now I'm at a slower point though. And so I'm strategic with what I do. Mm-hmm. You kind of, as a creator, have to keep things rolling. And if you stop, unfortunately, if you stop, things kind of dip.
Yeah.
So you really do have to stay on it with Instagram and post at least every two or three days to kind of keep yourself, keep maintaining the follower count.
The momentum.
And yeah, the momentum of, I don't want to say the algorithm. Everyone says that. But there is something to that where you do have to keep on it. So what I'll do is I'm strategic and I'll pull from the thousands and thousands of videos that I already have in my phone. And you'll see, like, you'll be able to tell if my nails aren't the same as what they are right now. Things like that, you can kind of tell. But I have so many things stocked up already that I create my own content constantly. Right now I would say I'm going to maybe two places a week to film.
So it's very realistic and reasonable at this moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I might make it seem more than that.
I think that's your charm. Yeah. And again, it's, I don't know if I have these skills at all, but your editing and the music and you don't do a ton of voiceover.
No.
You're just showing the images, but we understand the message, the fun, the coolest dish we should be getting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take pride in how I edit. I think I do a pretty good job myself too. If I were to give tips to anyone, it would be make your music choices, you know, unique to you. And when it comes to editing the music with the video, you kind of have to have a rhythm to it. If you don't have a rhythm to it, people will keep scrolling.
Yeah.
I think. I know I do. When I see a video, it's just kind of second nature to me. If I don't like how it's all coming together, I kind of scroll past it. So if you're able to catch people's eye quickly and stay on beat with everything that you're doing and pick songs that you love, you know, that energy will come out to the people and they know that it's special to you. That's what I try to do.
I love it. And I get it. I think that's why you're so captivating, because you catch me when I'm watching a video or any kind of post of yours.
Thank you.
What do the food places, the business owners, what do they say about your content? What kind of response have you gotten?
They have really great responses from my content. Now, some people reach out to me for the content, and other times, most, I would say 75% of what I do on my page is genuinely me going to a place just on my own exploration. And, you know, sometimes they don't reach out to me, but I can see the impact on my own just based on their follower count, depending on, you know, how delicious something looks or how much people really want it. Their follower count goes up sometimes by 1,000 within a day. And so I know that that has to have a huge impact on them. Otherwise, though, I receive a lot of great feedback from those owners tell me that the things that I'm posting typically sell out for them.
Really?
Because the people want to try what I try. My fan base is really loyal. Shout out to all of them. They do what I do and with no questions asked.
Yeah.
So I know that those business owners feel the love from that, and I'm happy to do that for anyone I can.
I love that you are, you know, doing this, you know, mostly, as you said, like organically. These are the places you want to try, or these are just the places you like, or a relationship that you've built The other place I notice a lot is Latte Lane.
Love Latte Lane.
I mean, it is Instagrammable,
yes.
Especially with your nails
yes,
as well.
But of course.
Tell me a little bit about Latte Lane because I haven't made it there yet.
Oh my gosh, you have to go.
I know.
So Latte Lane, it's located out in Harmer, though they have a Pittsburgh address and people get really upset when I say they're in Pittsburgh. That's just something, you know.
Yeah, that's us. That's
technicality. Whatever. Anyways, they have, so Heather, her name is Heather. She's the owner. She used to work over at Bean Through, and I met her there. She made the best lattes ever, and then she decided to open up her own little coffee trailer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even called Latte Lane. It was called, I forget what it was called initially, but then she rebranded to Latte Lane, and now she is located in Cross Point Church
yes.
up on Freeport Road.
Yes.
And not on Sundays, obviously, mm-hmm. because there's church service, but every other day. I think the hours are like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekdays, and then she's open until 1 on Saturdays. I know the schedule.
I love
because
this.
I am a regular.
Yes.
But the drinks that she has, yes, they're Instagrammable, like you said. Not only are they Instagrammable, though, they are so delicious. Mm. They're not overly sweet, and they go with my nails.
Why not?
Yeah, I love it there. They treat me well and I do the same in return. And yeah, they're an incredible small business, woman owned as well.
I love that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Anna of Anna Eats Pittsburgh and you're listening to The Pittsburgh Dish.
So much has happened over this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, take me back a little bit. Take me a step back. So you grew up here.
Yeah.
Food and going out now is so big. What was like your food scene like at home? Did you go out to eat a lot? Did you cook at home a lot?
Great question. I grew up surrounded by literal, I would call them culinary geniuses my whole life. And it's just my family. Mm-hmm. So my brother, John, he's a chef. He's incredible. He used to work for some catering companies, Greco's and Bella Sera back in the day. And he picked up some really great skills and he taught me how to cook too. So he taught me pretty much everything that I know. My dad, who passed away when I was younger, but I remember the food that he would make for holidays, like bacon wrapped scallops and filet mignon, you know, the best of the best food. He could throw down in the kitchen. And my mom is wonderful. She can cook. She's incredible. Her homemade meals are better than anything that you can get out. Truly, we say that all the time. We want her to cook for us more. Mom, if you're listening, please cook for us more. Aww. We love your cooking. And my Nana, who passed away 2 years ago, we are Syrian.
Okay.
So she would make grape leaves. She would make just the best Middle Eastern food. Mm. And I grew up with that influence around me, too. To say, I just grew up with the best food experiences ever. We didn't even go out to eat that much.
You know what good food is.
I just know what good food is. So when I find it, when I'm out, I know it.
Yeah.
I know it has good flavor. I know it's made with love. And that's just all that I'm used to. You know, I was surrounded by it as a kid. And I'm so thankful that I know good food and how to cook it too.
Oh my gosh. I thank you so much for sharing that. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I have some similar folks in my family that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I just think that what you're doing for small business now kind of reflects that almost that familial thing, but in like a community sense now.
100%.
Yeah. I love how that's grown.
Yeah.
There have been some other things that have happened over this year beyond just the Instagram. I think you and I share.
Yeah.
I saw you on TV now.
Yeah.
A couple times.
I think I was on there three times last year. Yeah. With my school, I'm a teacher as well.
Mm-hmm.
I teach special ed. With my teaching schedule, it's a little harder to get on there now.
Yeah.
But that was really life-changing for me to be on TV. I never in a million years thought that I would be on KDKA with Heather Abraham.
and you did great, and she's great too.
I love her.
Yeah.
I was really, really nervous. Honestly, each time I did it, I was nervous every single time. I don't know if you feel that way when you go on. Well,
yes.
The first two times were live. Mm-hmm. And then the third time was a pre-record, which felt a little bit better to me. I don't think that I couldn't tell that I was nervous in them, but I was 100%.
I'm nervous every time.
Yeah.
And it's been
I get like shaky. My hands get shaky because it's a big deal and I care, you know. I think when people get nervous about something, that means that they really care. And I cared about that because that was, I mean, being on TV, that's a big deal.
I know. And again, you highlighted some great businesses. I sort of recall Lola's and the breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, that was my first segment. I did Lola's. Dagny's I had on there,
that's
curbside
right.
coffee.
Oh, that's
with the
right.
Spicy spicy. Everyone loved that spicy spicy. Oh,
you know how to pick it. I mean, we are so lucky to have you doing what you're doing.
Thanks. I mean, I'm having fun, like I said, and it's not work to me. This is what I do. And I'm even plotting what I'm going to do after this today. I was going to go down maybe to Coupe de Ville to get a Fluffernutter latte. Oh. Have you seen that on their page? Yeah.
Yes.
I might need to do that.
Coupe de Ville's good. And if you can do it daytime too and get into some of these places at the lunchish hour, you can still get sort of the full experience without having to dodge all the crowds on a Friday or Saturday night or something
even,
like that.
Even if there are crowds, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a part of the experience, you know?
I want to go back to the KDK spot because I recall there was a post you put on about your dad.
Yeah.
Would you talk about that a little bit? What happened that day?
So I don't know exactly what I said in the post. That was a while
about
ago.
The wind blew?
Yeah. I know my dad's always with me. Mm-hmm. I just feel it. And he was a great speaker. He was great with people. And I know if he were here today, he would 100% be pushing me to do all of the things that I'm doing. And I know that he's so proud of everything that I'm doing. And so thank you for reminding me. I can't believe I forgot about that. But that day, after my first segment at KDK, which was huge. I was with my family. My mom and my sister were walking behind me, and that day it wasn't windy at all. Like today, it's not. It wasn't like it is right now. It was very still air when we got there, and when we were leaving, this huge gust of wind just blew us away like so strongly. And when we got back in the car, we were like, I think my sister might have mentioned it. Like, that was a really big gust of wind. And I have a feeling that was dad just saying, like, hi, great job. I'm proud of you. And so, that was a special moment. And thank you for helping me remember that. I post so much and I forgot that even happened. But that's very important to me to feel that his presence is around me. And I definitely feel like he's 100% looking out for me in the success, and perhaps even is a part of the success that I've had too. So,
I definitely feel that for you. And your mom's right there all the time. She's super supportive.
I've
seen her in the neighborhood as well.
She's so great.
Is she going out with you and doing some video?
All the time. Whenever she can. Her work schedule and mine don't really always match up great. She's a hairdresser. She owns a salon out in McMurray. Shout out to Expressions.
There you go. Plug it.
But whenever I can, I want to bring my family, because these restaurants, that especially if they're having me, they want to show me the best of the best, which is a lot of their menu. And so I like to have my family come with me, and my mom is always there. She's my biggest supporter for sure, and my sister as well. I try to tag them along as much as I can.
It's so important though too. It helps like reinforce what you're doing. They've got like another set of eyes. And like you said, you're bringing them along for the full experience, which there really couldn't be anything better.
For sure. It's less lonely too. I like going out to restaurants on my own, but sometimes, you know, I like to have my family with me, and my boyfriend too, if I can ever bring him with me. It's just better when you have people around you. And also they help me so much with, you know, getting a shot of me with the food too is always helpful.
Does your boyfriend enjoy all of these places you've discovered? You guys have like a lot of good date
nights. For sure. I feel like before we started dating, he had never even had Thai food before. So his foods, you know, his options were always, I think, limited. And I think I showed him some places that he has just never been. Thai food was one of our first dates that we went on. Obviously, that's it's me.
Amazing.
Thai food is my favorite. How we haven't talked about that already,
I don't
know.
Flavors, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sweet, it's salty, it's everything. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Dancing Crab down in Southside. At that time, Dormont. I don't believe their Dormont location existed yet. So I took him there. We got obviously crab rangoons, duh. And I think my go-to order there is pad see ew, and yes. He got their green curry. Everything was so good. But delightful. Yeah, I feel like I've opened his eyes to some great places, and I of course bring him along with me everywhere that I go.
Does he ever pick the place?
He does. It's rare. I mean, sometimes we come to a mutual agreement, like tonight where we came to Uncle Sam's in Robinson. We love Uncle Sam's, so grab a sub. But, you know, I do kind of rule.
Well, you know, it's, you know, you've sort of asserted yourself as the expert.
He picks sometimes. He does.
Maybe he's allowed to pick a place you know is already good.
Yeah. Right. And if I'm craving it, it's all good. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the Dancing Crab, but I'd like to go back to something else that's, maybe you've been asked this before, but tell me about the obsession of Crab Rangoon.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually a good story. It relates back to my dad too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So when I was young, I've lived all around the South Hills, literally, you name it. I've probably lived there in the South Hills. But I grew up in Canonsburg for a pretty good amount of my childhood. And there's a place there called YY. It's a Chinese buffet. Mm-hmm. It's not one of my absolute favorite Chinese places to go. Mm-hmm. However, I went there a lot as a kid. My dad and I would have dinner there. I don't even know. Maybe every other week.
So it's special.
It is special. Yeah. It's super special to me. And they had crab rangoons on the lineup there. And that was my first ever time trying crab rangoons ever. Mm. And I remember after trying them the first time, I love them so much that I would put like 4 or 5 on my plate. And my dad, like, I'm like 6 years old.
I was going to say, what age are we at? You're six
or seven.
Yes.
And my dad would be like, honey, you can't really do that. You gotta kind of dial it back a little. And that was when I fell in love with crab rangoons. Yeah. And ever since, I've found so many that are even better than that. Mm-hmm. I would say like Thai rangoons. I know they're not really authentically Thai. I've heard that they don't really do that in Thailand, but that's something that's Americanized here in Thai restaurants. And yeah. I would say the crab rangoons I get at Thai restaurants are so flavorful, sometimes with a little bit of curry in them.
Ooh, yeah.
They're really the best of the best.
I think you're allowed to like Thai crab rangoons, because even
I think so too.
Even pad Thai is not a traditional dish of Thailand.
Right. And I'm saying that I hear like all, you know, I get comments all the time on my posts of like recently I posted a Chinese restaurant and I had a few people saying, well, that's not even Chinese food. And it's like the technicalities that I'm facing now, I have to be mindful of some of the things that I say and do. I will still say and do them, but I do know that some people are a little bit more particular about the things that you say and like that, you know?
I think that if people are responding whatever way they're responding, they're interested.
True.
That's the thing. You pushed a button.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, both positive and negative comments are always interesting. I've gotten the same ones on YouTube about a recipe I've done. And I'm like,
it's
okay. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
And what do I do with that?
I'm still trying to navigate that.
Yeah.
Honestly, when you get bigger, you receive more feedback, both positive and negative. Obviously, there's way more positive than there is negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get the occasional very negative comment that is not necessary.
Right.
Or it's bashing the business or something. And I want people to be able to speak freely on my content. But there's a fine line, I think.
Well, there's also responsible and respectable.
Yeah.
And I think if someone can't put that out there, it's just a slam or a bash for no good reason,
right?
Then I think they're delete worthy.
I have done that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I don't stand up for people tearing down businesses that I post. Especially I take a lot of pride in the places that I show off and I think they deserve it.
Right.
So if you had one bad experience there, that's okay. But you need to address it with them,
right?
Not me and hundreds of thousands of viewers watching. And sometimes
feedback to that business is really valuable if they didn't have the best night there.
Yeah.
I think then a lot of places welcome that and will turn it around.
Yep, I agree with you.
Have you ever gotten a negative insult or something that you actually loved and you were proud of or something like that?
No.
Okay.
Not particularly, no.
Sometimes people have said things to me like, oh, that's too simple or that's too homemade. I'm like, well, exactly.
Oh, that's a good one though. You know, I feel you know.
It's too basic.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I can be basic.
Yeah.
How about some comments that stick with you that are really positive or uplifting? Do you have anything that stands out?
All the time. Yeah. Like, I love it when people say, oh, me and my significant other, we just went and tried this place and we loved it so much. And it's now on our regular rotation. Aww. Like, I just saw one like that. And that makes me feel so great.
Yeah.
You know, I wish people would tell me that more, to be honest, because I have a feeling that it's a lot more people than that even. Mm-hmm. But those comments really do stick with me, to know that I'm making an impact on my community around me mm-hmm. with just a couple of videos and posts and stories. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet the percentage is actually much higher. You know, if you got 10% of people responding,
yeah,
it's probably a higher percentage.
I wish there was a way for me to know.
No.
I really do. It's hard. Not everyone feels comfortable reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, reach out to me. Because I love to hear that.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And so thinking forward now, you know, you're doing your thing. You're growing mm-hmm. exponentially on Instagram. You've really represented a lot of small and even some larger mm-hmm. food businesses in the area.
Yeah.
What are your goals, or what do you want to keep doing? Like, where do you go from here?
I'm riding the wave.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's coming to me. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like not knowing what's happening. And of course, it's great to have goals. But I feel like my goals are sort of funny. I really would like to meet some personalities within like the Food Network scene. And,
oh, yeah.
Food Network is always on my mind. Mm-hmm. That's a dream to, mm-hmm. you know, branch out into something that large. I don't know if it's like attainable in the near future, but keep those dreams big and things can happen. I really, really want to meet Gordon Ramsay and like just talk to him. I want to meet Guy Fieri and talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, just getting out there in the food world beyond Pittsburgh is mm-hmm. a goal of mine too. Mm-hmm. I have ideas of where I want to possibly travel over the summer, and I really want to go to New York. I've never been to New York City before. I really want to go there and eat some pizza bagels.
We need to get that to happen.
I know. And travel is something that I didn't do much of as a kid. I've never been on a plane even.
Okay.
So travel is very new to me.
Mm.
Driving places, of course, I've been all over the East Coast, but I would love to go outside of the country as well to try some food. I want to go to Europe. France in particular, I would love to go just eat some bread and cheese. Travel is huge for me.
Oh my gosh. There are so many food adventures ahead for you.
I know.
And here's what I know. I know that you have talked to people and promoted people here in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. that could make those other adventures
for
happen.
Sure.
Not
yeah.
a problem. And now you just put that out in the world.
Yeah.
So next year, Anna eats
eats the world.
The worldwide tour.
That's honestly something that's gone through my mind too. Anna eats the world. Like, if I could branch out to that, I love Pittsburgh
yes.
and I know I'm going to, I just know in my heart I will be here
yes.
for the rest of my life. I know that. But if I can branch out and travel as well and promote other places too, I mean, heck yeah. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we sort of land on that here? Mm-hmm. So I do have an ending question.
Okay.
But before we go there, why don't you promote yourself? Tell everybody again, especially those folks that don't know you, who are you and how do they find you?
Yeah. So I'm Anna with one N. People sometimes struggle to find me because mm-hmm. my name is with one N. But on Instagram, I'm ana.eats.pgh. You can find me there. Hit that follow button. I'm also on TikTok and Facebook, but those accounts aren't as developed as my Instagram yet. So everything pretty much lands on my Instagram page. I'm posting the best restaurants in Pittsburgh and I love what I do.
Anna, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So my ending question for everyone on the show is, What was one of the best dishes you've eaten this week?
This week. Oh, let me think back. Okay, what day is it? It's Saturday. This was a busy week for me. And to be honest, I ate a lot at home. But last week, of course, I went to the Dancing Crab. And I'm not even going to lie to you. I might have eaten green curry for breakfast today, Doug.
I think that's perfectly fine.
I did.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
I loved, like we said, I love Thai food. Green curry from the Dancing Crab.
All right.
One of the best.
The best dishes. One of the best dishes you've had this week.
Yeah, I would say so.
Awesome.
This morning.
Anna, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, neighbor.
Will you come back later and give us some more going out to eat recommendations?
100%. We should get people to ask some questions and have us answer.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, the weekly recommend. We want to thank Beano's for being a sponsor on this week's show. For over 30 years, they've been making dressings and sauces to make your sandwiches better. A local company from a local family. If you have a sandwich, they probably have a sauce for it. And you know the bottles. They've got the fun shape, and they're usually near the deli counter. Find out what's missing on your sandwich with Beano's dressings and sauces. Now back to the show. Usually during this second segment, we intended to always feature restaurants, but we just had a guest that gave us so many locations that we're going to change it up and actually recommend a wine. And tying off from what we just talked about with Anna, we're going to ask our wine expert, Catherine, to give us a wine for Thai food. So Catherine, earlier in the show, we talked with Anna Anthony, whose favorite cuisine, self-professed, is Thai food. And she may have actually had green curry for breakfast this morning.
Wow.
I know. And it got me to thinking, since she gave me so many great restaurant recommendations, that I might want to challenge you for giving us a wine recommendation with takeout Thai food. What do you think?
I think I'm up to the challenge.
Oh, I love it. All right. So, I mean, I'm still learning a whole bunch about wine, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are as well. So if you're getting some takeaway and you are going to your favorite Thai restaurant, where would you start?
Well, for Thai food, since Thai is like usually having a reputation for being like super spicy, and it's also got sour notes and sweet notes, and most Thai food is considered to be pretty super hot. You want a wine that can kind of work with that hotness and, you know, just have a good mouthfeel so that it can balance out what you're experiencing with the food. Looking for a wine that has like a higher sugar content and has a really rich body to it.
Okay. So a little bit sweeter of a wine?
A little bit on the sweeter side of the wine.
Okay.
So that's going to be a wine that maybe falls in the 10 to 12% alcohol by volume type of a range.
Okay.
Okay.
Where would you steer me toward? What kind of varietal or?
Varietal's the right word for it.
Okay.
Varietal's the word that the wine folks use to refer to a specific grape.
Okay.
And the one that comes to mind for Thai food is Gewürztraminer.
Oh, I like that German sound anyway. Gewürztraminer. Okay.
It's actually from Alsace, France.
Okay.
And it's kind of near the border to Germany, and that border may have flexed from time to time over the centuries.
Right.
So the town does definitely have a German influence, and you can definitely hear it in the name for this particular wine. Gewürztraminer wines have a really nice mouthfeel, and they've got a nice little hit of acid in them. And it's really considered to be like your primo choice for pairing with Thai food.
And if you're ordering a Thai dish that is a little bit more on the spicy side, does that sort of sweet, does it temper the hot a little bit? How does that work?
That's a great question. Yeah. Sweetness in the wine is going to take a little bit of the edge off of the hotness in the food. And really give you a nice balanced experience. And the wine's also not going to seem as sweet because the food's so hot.
Oh, okay. I like that. Now, I always order, I mean, I started to go for pad Thai, which I also know gets the rap that it's not even traditional Thai dish, but it's an Americanized thing.
You got to go with what you like.
And it's not as hot. Is there a different type of wine that maybe if I don't want something so sweet, because my dish is already sweet and it's not too hot. Do you have a different one that you'd go for?
That's a great question. Yeah, you might want to try something a little bit more on the drier side. Mm-hmm. And I like to recommend a Pinot Noir from Oregon.
Oh,
so
okay.
Right here in the good old US of A, while the Pinot Noir grape, really its home is in France, the Willamette Valley in Oregon is right on the same latitude on the globe. So some grapes do well in certain types of soil and with certain climates. Mm-hmm. And this climate in this particular area of Oregon really mimics where Pinot Noir came from.
Okay.
So it's a happy grape.
All right.
And also the volcanic soil from Mount St. Helens and all of those mountains over there, they stopped erupting a long time ago, but their memory lives on in the soil.
Yes.
And those grapevines really pick up some of the mineraliness. They're digging it literally and figuratively because they're bringing some of those flavors into the wine itself.
Amazing.
It's really kind of fun because the wine will give you, in its flavors, an expression of where it's from.
Oh, I think that those are both great pairings. So if my Thai dish is maybe not on the super spicy side, or I like a little drier wine, go with a Pinot Noir from the Willamette Valley or the Pacific Northwest.
Pacific Northwest.
And if I'm on the hot and spicy and I want a little sweeter wine,
Gewürztraminer.
Oh, that sounds good.
I think I got that right. At least I hope so.
From the Alsace region of France, but right across the border from Germany.
Pretty close.
Thanks again, Catherine.
My pleasure.
Catherine Montest is a local certified wine enthusiast who studied at the Napa Valley Wine Academy and holds a certification from the Wine and Spirits Trust in London. You can find out more about Catherine at her website, yourfairywinemother.com. All right, in this part of the show, we like to find out what yuns are all cooking at home. And this week, it might involve candy bars. Let's give our friend of the show, Jimmy Hartz, a call to see what this recipe is all about.
Douglas!
Jimmy Hartz. Jimmy, thanks for being on the show. So, Jimmy, what is the name of this recipe?
It is the Snickers salad.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, does it have a lot of ingredients? What's in it?
Yeah, so super simple. It's literally three ingredients.
Uh-huh.
So you start off, number one, it's an 8-ounce container of Cool Whip.
Okay.
Number two, we have Granny Smith apples, about three of them.
And do you peel them or do you just chop them up?
You just dice them up.
Oh, that's
no
easier.
Reason to peel them at all. Yep, makes it super simple. And then the third ingredient are three regular size Snickers bars.
Okay.
I usually recommend freezing them because it makes it a lot easier whenever you're chopping those up.
Okay. So you're basically chopping up your apples, chopping up the Snickers bars after you froze them a little bit, and then you just mix it up in the Cool Whip?
Mix it all together. Once you're done, throw it in the refrigerator, let it sit, take it to a party, have fun. Most people will probably see it and think it's another potato salad at the party, but once they actually see it and they try it, they will absolutely love it. I've tried some different things with it just to spice it up a little bit more. Like you could put like a little caramel or chocolate drizzle on it.
Ooh.
You could add marshmallows into it if you want, chocolate chips, like anything you want to enhance it. But literally, if you just wanted to do the three ingredients alone, it's phenomenal.
So this is a crazy recipe, Jimmy. Did you make this up yourself or did you borrow it from a friend or something?
So I totally stole it from a friend of mine.
Okay.
Her name is Lucretia.
Aww.
She made it for a potluck at work, and I just thought it was unbelievable. And then when I asked her how many ingredients it was, and she said it was only three, I'm like, well, that's my kind of recipe. So from that point forward, I've been making it pretty much for events ever since.
Oh my gosh. Snickers salad. I love it. Jimmy, thanks so much.
You're welcome, man. Nice talking to you, Doug.
Hey, you too. We love hearing about these recipes that you're cooking at home. If you want to submit a recipe yourself, go to our website at www.pittsburghdish.com and look for our recipe form. Well, that's our show. Thanks for tuning in to the Pittsburgh Dish. Special thanks to all of our guests and contributors and to Kevin Selecki of Carnegie Accordion Company for providing the music to our show. We'll be back again next week with another fresh episode. Be sure to tune in.